What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. This is episode 47. Today, we're talking about Pelagianism. This is a doctrine that most people don't know about. It's not widely adopted. I've seen it mostly online with certain ministries that promote themselves online. These people often are found countering Calvinism. So they're against Calvinism, but then they have this belief system that is also erroneous. So we're going to talk about it today and show you what it's about, what it is, and what the scriptures say about it. So Pelagianism is the unbiblical teaching that Adam's sin did not affect future generations of humanity. According to Pelagianism, Adam's sin was solely his own, and his descendants didn't inherit the sinful nature. God creates every human soul directly, and therefore every human soul starts out as innocent and free from sin. We are not basically bad, says Pelagianism. We are basically good. This doctrine, once again, was named after another man. Just like John Calvin had Calvinism, Pelagianism came after a guy named Pelagius, a monk who lived in the late 300s. After the death of Christ, and he began teaching this doctrine associated with his name in an effort to promote holy living amongst the Christians back then. When people sinned, he got tired of people saying that I can't help it, you know, it's just in my nature, and people making excuses for their sin and just living in sin. So he would have countered that excuse by, you know, stressing that, you know, you all have freedom to live right. You have the freedom to, the will to do the right thing, to choose or do the right thing. And he said, there is no original sin. So quit bringing up that argument. And then if you fall into sin, it's not Adam's fault, it's your fault. And you just chose to do the wrong thing. So you need to try harder next time to do the right thing. Okay. So that's what he was teaching. And I came across a few people who were teaching that. And it took me a while for me to pry out what they really believed, because they didn't want to share it. It's almost like they knew it was wrong. It was, I got it out of them, and that's pretty much what they were believing. This belief off the bat removes the need from the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. All these scriptures about yielding to the Spirit and stuff that we're going to talk about, unnecessary. Just choose to do the right thing. Now, this doesn't make sense, because if mankind is basically good and he's just choosing to do the wrong thing, he should at some point decide that this is not good for us as humanity. You know, we all hate sin. We all hate wickedness and evil in the world. We don't like it, yet we keep doing it. Mankind, just to shift for a minute, mankind, he builds cars, he builds houses, he's always improving on these things, yet his condition, his nature doesn't change. It's getting worser. It's, you know, more depraved year by year, decade by decade, century by century, coming up with new ways to sin and new ways to do things wrong. And how come mankind hasn't just said, this ain't right, let's just choose to do the right thing? Now, I want to be clear. We all have choice. We can choose to do the right thing. It's clear in scripture. God has given us a free will. But what I mean by choice is that there is something in us that, even though we want to choose to do the right thing, there's something in us that is pushing us towards the evil. And so I'm not in agreement with some of these hyper-Calvinists who say we don't even have a choice over what we do. I'm in total agreement with the Pelagius at the time that we have a choice. We can choose to do the right thing. Now, the problem with it is there's a nature that's pushing us towards doing evil. And so the remedy for that is the Holy Spirit. To say, I'm weak. I need you, God. I need your Holy Spirit. And with that, you will be empowered to overcome the flesh. And then you can please God. See, Pelagianus, he just didn't even take into consideration the Holy Spirit. He just removed him totally out the package and said, you can just do it. You got that. You're choosing to do the wrong thing. I mean, yes, men making these choices, and you see the wickedness in the world, but there was something in him driving him to do that. That's what the problem with mankind is. He has a nature diametrically opposed to righteousness. And the Bible is clear throughout scripture about that existence of that nature. And so for anybody to just reject that, this clear understanding, just by looking at, just look at babies, you know, babies don't have to be taught how to lie. They don't have to be taught to be arrogant and steal toys from each other and talk back. You know, they say you got that from your mother and whatever. It's in their nature. Okay? Pretty soon, they're going to start doing that stuff. You can train them not to do it, but it's still in their nature. So people who believe this, and I've told them this directly. I said, look, you don't want to accept the fact that you have a weakness, which is that nature inside of you that's against God. You want to feel like you're a righteous person. You're good all the way down to the core, and you just make mistakes here and there, but you're a good, great person. That's what you really want to believe. And that's pride. That's self-deception. And we're going to show in your scripture how this is just not true. So let's get into the word here and show you what scripture teaches. Let's start in Luke. We're going to read 9-10 scriptures. Okay. Here's the first one. Luke chapter 18, verses 19. This is a King James version. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. In other words, ain't nobody good but God. This is when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what can I do to be saved? He said, who are you calling good? Ain't nobody good but God. Ain't nobody good but God. And so he, as a man at the time, was kind of giving us an understanding that ain't nobody good but God. Now, we know Jesus was God too as well. So, you know, Jesus was good as well. But he's saying that ain't no man good. All right. In other words, when we go back to the garden, when he created everything, he said it is good. He was saying that this is clean, it's right, it's everything is fine with it. Man ain't good now. He's messed up. Okay. All right. So God is, Jesus just kind of revealing that right in that little passage there. Here's another one. Matthew 15:19. Jesus talking again. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Okay. You can go read it in context, but he's just exposing what's in us. That's what's in us. Without anybody doing anything, without any training, that's what's in us. From the day we are born, we come out like that. Why? Because we have a nature that has been passed down to us from Adam. Okay. Here's another one. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's telling you how our souls are, how our minds are, how our nature is. Okay. This is a state of what we are. Until we get born again and start walking in the spirit of God, that's how we are. All right. Here's another one. Psalms 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's the example of me talking about the babies lying. Baby was told not to do something. He went and did it anyway. Well, she went and did it anyway. You come to the baby, you say, what did you do? The baby lying, say he didn't do it. Why? He's trying to escape punishment. But lying is a sin. The Bible says all liars say they're part of the lake of fire. Lying is not in the makeup of God. That's the nature of Satan in that baby. You didn't have to teach the baby to lie. You already knew, okay, if I tell them the truth, I may receive some punishment. So I'm going to lie. So this is the nature here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So before we were quickened by the Holy Spirit, we were dead in trespasses and sins. He was telling us just how we were. We walked according to the course of the world, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, the lust of our flesh, We are by nature the children of wrath. This is the state of mankind. Mankind is not good. People are not good. Humanity is self-centered. Humanity tells lies. They manipulate. They're perverted. All kind of ways. You stay longer, some of the people you thought was good. I know the old lady next to you, she's always giving out cookies. She's just a nice woman. Then you find out she did something to some of her children or something. And she hurt her husband or something. You'll find like, man, that old girl is not that good. Everybody's wicked, okay? They're wicked. Now, that's before you get born again and you get the Holy Spirit working in you. And now you're able to overcome those desires for evil with the power of the Holy Spirit. But prior to that, everybody by default to come out wicked. Children ain't innocent. They just waiting to do something evil. They just ain't big enough to do something bad, you know? Let them get big enough, enough power. They're going to do something wicked unless they're trained out of it. And even still, it's still in their nature. It's just being held back by training. You know, don't do this, don't do that. But it's still in the nature. That's what God is trying to change, the nature. And he's transforming that nature every day through the washing of the word, through walking in the spirit, till we get to a point of maturity where he can take that soul up into heaven and say, you're righteous, you're clean, because I worked out all that stuff throughout your lifetime. And that's what this a lot of time on this earth is all about. Transforming your soul so that you look like Christ. Okay? And it's an effort between you and God. You make the effort to study the word of God and know what he says and to yield your body to him. And the Holy Spirit takes over and gives you power to overcome sin and to live right and be used by him in the days of your life on this earth. So that's how it works. Here's another one. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, the law was given to show us that we were wicked. I'm tired of people talking about they're good people because they keep the law. The law was given to you to show you that you're wicked and you're not keeping the law. Not in your flesh. It's showing you, up, you just lied. Up, you was coveting. That's what it does. It showed you the standards of God and showed you how you didn't meet up to them. That's why they had to do this, the blood offerings and the sacrifices. They had to go back to the priest every week or so. And account for those sins and get those things covered by the blood. Now we got Jesus who covers and washes away the sins, rather. He washes away the sin. He doesn't cover the sin, but he washes away the sin when we confess the sin. But we still need the blood because we have a nature that pushes us towards sin when we want to do the right thing. So we have to walk in the Spirit, and we'll talk about that later. Romans chapter 7, verses 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwell of no good thing, for to will is present with me. So the will to do it is present in me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. So I will to do it. I want to do the right thing, but I end up doing the wrong thing. And if you read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 7, he's saying that. The struggle within him, this nature of Satan versus the Spirit of God. And at the end, he says, who's going to deliver me to Jesus Christ? So we have a way of overcoming that. And what Pelagius should have been preaching back then was, y'all need the Holy Spirit. But because Pelagius was a monk, and I think he might have been part of the Catholic Church system, you know, they tend not to deal with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I'm not sure about his whole background, but the bottom line was he should have been teaching people, y'all need to walk in the Spirit. Ain't no excuses for these sins. And that's how I am today. I don't let people walk around with the excuse, oh, your sin nature got you down. I don't let people get over with that. No, you got the Holy Spirit for that. That's what the Holy Spirit came to empower you to overcome sin. Choose to do the right thing, yield your members to God, and watch yourself overcome sin. Watch yourself win on a daily basis if you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse. Okay, so here's another one. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I've read this many times, but just to show you that even our righteousness is wickedness. God is not, he's not playing with us. He's showing us what we are. He's telling you, look, you're not good, but I love you enough to make you good through the Holy Spirit. Get born again, confess your sins, acknowledge your weakness to please me apart from my power, and you will then please me. Have faith that my power from the Holy Spirit will give you strength to overcome sin and to please me. See, we got to understand something. But the pride don't want to do that. Pride does not want to yield to the Holy Spirit. It wants to do everything in its own so it can say, I'm strong on my own, apart from God. And God is saying, I never designed you to be apart from me. You were always designed to be connected to me, to be an extension of me. And this is no different. We must stay connected to God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We are extensions. As long as we stay in the branch of the vine, we're fine. We break off, we're going to be on the ground withering and dying. That's what's going to happen until we get reconnected. All right. And that's what's happening with everybody. They're born dead. No power in them to do right by God. No ability to please God until God comes to them and offers them salvation. They accept, they put their faith in him, and then he gives them the Holy Spirit and rejuvenates them and reconnects them to him. And then they got life flowing through them, and then they're able to obey him as they yield to the Holy Spirit. Once again, you must acknowledge your weakness, that you have a sin nature and that you can't do right by yourself. You got to do it with the Holy Spirit. And that's where the flesh comes in and says, no, I don't want to do that. So for anybody who doesn't want to yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll be doing stuff in your flesh. You'll be living according to the law, and you'll be damned by the law. We'll show you in scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself. But so it's clear in scripture that we're bad. All right. And you just look at the world. It ain't getting no better. Why people keep doing wrong when they have a choice to do right? Because there's something pushing them to do wrong. And so they just yield to it. They have a conscience. They know right from wrong. They shouldn't lie. They shouldn't steal. They shouldn't cheat. But the nature wants what it wants. The nature wanted to get this. And so they said, I'm going to take that. And I don't care how that makes that other person feel, because I want it, because my nature is selfish and I don't care about other people. So I'm going to do this, and it's going to cause pain to somebody else. But I don't care, because I need to satisfy my desires, my lust. You see, mankind should have fixed himself by now. He should have seen, look at what we're doing to humanity. Look at how life is. We need police. Let's all just choose to do the right thing. It ain't going to work. Dude, most of the world can tell you there's something wrong with mankind. But here we come, these Pelagianists, talking about man is good. That's the most retarded thing I've ever heard in my life. And it's very proud and arrogant to think that you are good, but you don't have any proof of it. You just look at your failures in life. What are you talking about? So people like that, if you want to continue to hold on to that doctrine, you're deceiving yourself, and you're proud, and you just want to feel like you're a good person in and out, and you're just so righteous. And that's just arrogance. That's ridiculous. So what does this mean? OK, so now that we know that we're messed up, we know why we tend to do the wrong thing, or why there's something inside wanting us to do the wrong thing. Why? We know because we have a sin nature that was passed down to us through Adam. When he ate that fruit, the nature of Satan was passed through him, and now he's corrupted. He's full of sin, and then so all his children are full of sin. And they come up with all these weird desires and perversions, and they hate God, and their children are wrath, and they just messed up. And we're all like that until we meet Christ, who gives us a choice to accept his spirit, accept his blood, to be redeemed for our sins, and that we can, you know, be saved from this madness, which is the nature of the Satan, this flesh in us who wants to do wrong. And once we accept that, we get filled with the Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit if we choose to, because there are many people who are born again, but they're not walking in the Spirit. Maybe they haven't been taught, whatever reason. But as we choose to walk in the Spirit, we're able to overcome sin and live a life that is righteous and good. What makes us righteous at that point is our faith in God. He said to Abraham, he was considered righteous because of his faith. So when you obey God and do what he says, and you believe what he's going to do for you. When you accept the Holy Spirit and allow his power to work through you, that's what pleases God. That what is accounted to you as righteousness. And so we can be righteous as we are connected to God, as we walk in the Spirit. That's the only way. Never apart from God. We'll remain righteous as long as we stay in Christ. When we disconnect, we're not righteous no more. We're in danger, really. And if we don't get right, there'll be a time when the grace will be cut off and we won't be accepted. So we need to stay in Christ. When we make mistakes, get back up and walk in the Spirit. So here's the final verse here. We've read it many times. We'll read it again. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So to all the Calvinists, don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. All right? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if you want to come or overcome any kind of sin, walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So let me just stop right there. Those who want to just walk in their flesh and try to please God, you under the law. And the law is going to damn you to hell, because he's going to tally up that law when you get in front of God and say, God, welcome me on into heaven, God. I kept your law. He's going to be like, no, you didn't. You failed here. You failed there. And he said, if you fail in one part of the law, you fail in all of it. So you law keepers, apart from the Holy Spirit, y'all failing. I'm tired of hearing about y'all. We going back to the Old Testament. We keeping the. No, you not. You failing in those. And I can tell you how to keep them. Walk in the Spirit. Don't focus on the law necessarily. Walk in the Spirit. Focus on yielding to God's power and understanding that you have a weakness. Then now you pleasing God. Now you keeping the commandments. So I want to be clear for all you Hebrew Israelites who think I preach against the command. I don't. All the commandments are good. The law is good. The Ten Commandments are good. You got to follow those. That's the standard of God. But we must walk in the Spirit in order to do that. Okay, you can't do it in your flesh. So you got to yield to God on a daily basis. Say, I'm weak. I got this nature that don't want to do right. But I'm choosing to do the right thing and I need your power to do it. As soon as you make that declaration, as soon as you have that true faith about your current state, you have power and you will see yourself winning every day. And I'm a living testimony. All right. Let me continue on. Verse 18, it says, but if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm not under the law. All you rest of you cats, y'all under the law. And y'all going to be damned if you continue up under that. Walk in the Spirit, he says. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you continue to follow the law, if you continue to walk in your flesh, if you continue to believe you're a good person and you can just obey God without the Holy Spirit, you're going to end up practicing some of these things here. I know you are, because you don't have this Holy Spirit working in you, and you're going to end up not inherit the kingdom of God. There is nobody apart from the Holy Spirit pleasing God on his own. Jesus didn't even do that. He had the Holy Spirit on him. That's how he was able to overcome and live a sinless life. All right. He needed the Holy Spirit. All right. He yielded to the Holy Spirit. Fortunately for him, he didn't have a nature in him from Adam. He was born of Mary, and she was inseminated by God, the Holy Spirit. So he didn't have that nature fighting against him, but he still had temptations on a daily basis. So it's not to say that Christ was not tempted, but he had the Holy Spirit to say, nope, I ain't doing it. He yielded to the Holy Spirit. So the only difference between him and us is that he had a, He did not have a nature within that was pressing him toward it, but he still had temptation from the outside. We have a nature within that's pressing us towards sin, and we have temptations from the outside. So we need the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. All right, let me keep going here. But if we don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We must walk in the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you're doing those, you're not under the law, and you're pleasing God. And all those things are the character of God. So you don't need a law because you're walking in the love of God. The law is for people who are lawless, who are wicked. They need some kind of taskmaster on them to tell them what to do because they don't live right. They're wrong. They need to be told that they're wrong. They need to be shown that they're messed up. That's what the law is for. You know, but those who have been born again, become children of God, we're walking in the Spirit. So we end up under the law telling us what to do and what not to do. Because we already know it's written in our heart, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to obey God. I mean, we got laws that tell you not to speed. Why? Because there's people on the road who don't care about other people. But there's people on the road who walk in the Spirit and know that I'm not going to drive at a certain speed because, or while I'm around other people, because that may cause damage or we may get into an accident. See, when everybody's walking in the Spirit, everything flows together. But the people who are not in the Spirit, you'll see how they cause chaos. And that's why they need laws to tell them, don't do this, don't do that. And so for you who want to grab the law and say, I'm such a great person because I'm following the law, you're going backwards. There's a better way, and that's the Holy Spirit. Get empowered with the Holy Spirit, okay? That law was just for a temporal time frame to keep Israel in check until Jesus Christ came with the blood and with the Holy Spirit, okay? And to show them that they needed a Savior. That's all that was. Now that we have the blood of Jesus, now that we have the Holy Spirit, that's what you should be picking up now. You shouldn't be going back to the Old Testament and picking up those laws. They're still good. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll find yourself practicing many of those laws in there. But the focus should be walking in the Spirit, yielding to the power of the Holy Ghost, and you'll see yourself pleasing God. You'll see yourself being acceptable to God. You won't have a conscience of sin all the time, or oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Okay? So, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, when we crucify the flesh, what we're saying is, I'm not going to follow you today. And when it speaks again, I'm saying, I'm not going to follow you. I will say no to the flesh. I'm going to kill you. And then you pick up the power of the Holy Spirit, and you see that flesh not even get what it wants, and it's squashed. And you see yourself obeying God. That's what daily crucifixion is. I'm killing myself today. Myself wants to do wrong today. I'm not doing it today. I'm not going to think that way today. And I'm going to take the Holy Spirit's power and I'm going to do the right thing. And that's all this is about. So the Pelagianism is a false doctrine. For those who believe it, they're self-deceived. And I know how they got into it because they were fighting Calvinists. I remember following a particular guy. His whole channel was about fighting Calvinism. And once I understood that Calvinism was a sin, I would look at some of his videos because he would battle these Calvinists. I mean, yeah, he would battle these Calvinists. But then he ended up in this area where he's thinking that the sin nature doesn't even exist now. There is no nature passed down to mankind, that we're all good. Like, how did you jump from there to there? So, you know, I think that people really need to check their doctrine and not go too far to the left, too far to the right. All these doctrines have some truth to them. When the Calvinist says, yeah, we got a sin nature, we're bad. We got a lot of stuff going on in our souls. We're messed up. That's true. But you need the Holy Spirit to overcome that. For the Pelagianism, they say you can choose to do the right thing. That's totally true. But you need the Holy Spirit to strengthen that choice and to do the right thing. Okay? Otherwise, you're just going to be choosing to do the right thing and then failing and asking God for forgiveness and trying to your best in your own power to do right. And you're just going to continue to fall and get back up, fall and get back up. The person who says we got to work our way into heaven, and do good deeds. Well, the Bible says we were created to do good deeds. And then the Bible also says that I'll show you my faith by my deeds. So faith leads to good works. So there's truth in all these different doctrines. So the doctrine that says you can get your good deeds get you into heaven is also called legalism. There's Calvinism, and then we got Pelagianism. So three isms here. And all three of them have truth in them, but they all have error in them as well. And so we need to, you know, look at the Bible and say, what is the Bible actually saying? And I believe I'm teaching a balanced understanding of what God is saying to his people. He's saying you're messed up, you're a hot mess because you got a nature in you. I love you anyway. I want to clean you up. You got to choose to do the right thing, and I'll give you power to do the right thing. That's all he's saying. Come to me, humble yourself. Don't let that nature tell you don't need me, that you can do it on your own. Once you do that, you'll please me. If you want to say you can please me on your own flesh, you're going to fail. I'm not going to accept you like that. All you law keepers and all that junk, you just so pride and about you keeping the law, God is not accepting you. Because you're failing in little areas here and there. He's not happy with that. He wants perfection. He wants maturity. He wants faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are saved by grace through faith. That's how we get saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. You are saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God ain't trying to have you up in heaven talking about, I got in heaven on my own. Look at me. But that's what happens to you when you're walking in your flesh and trying to keep the law on your own. You're walking around boasting about how good of a person you are, how great you are. And God is looking at you like, you won't please me. So this is a message for the legalists, for the Calvinists, and for the Pelagianists. Y'all got to get this correct. Scripture is clear, y'all. Accept it or perish. One of the two. So till next time, walk in the Spirit. If you don't feel like you're right with God, confess your sins, repent, read the gospel, accept it, walk in the Spirit, and be blessed.